This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Before he started leading his own group, Russell Malone was best known as the guitarist with the group led by singer and pianist Diana Krall. He had also performed with Jimmy Smith and Harry Connick. But now Malone is recognized as one of the leading jazz guitarists of his generation. In the New York Times, he was described as both a historian of the guitar and the heir of the great jazz guitarists from Charlie Christian through George Benson. Malone will perform at the San Francisco Jazz Festival, which begins later this month. Here's the title track from his latest CD, Look Who's Here. The track we've been listening to is an original composition. Russell Malone also loves standards and movie themes. His new CD includes songs by Cole Porter, Irving Berlin, Burt Bacharach, and Lerner and Lowe, as well as the theme from the film, An Affair to Remember. I asked him about his love of songs.
Well, I mean, a lot of those songs are, you know, like Stardust, Heather on the Hill, which I recorded. Those songs are so well constructed. Those guys, Cole Porter, George Gershwin, Jerome Kern, those guys were, I don't know what their women told them, but they wrote some beautiful lyrics and the songs are so well constructed, you really don't have to do much else to them. I also like to write my own tunes. I like to play songs by Wayne Shorter. I just like music, but I love the classic American songs and I always play them whenever I play concerts, along with some of my own tunes too.
You actually sing an Irving Berlin song on your latest CD. You sing Be Careful, It's My Heart. Why did you decide to sing? It's your first time singing on record that I know of.
Well, actually, I used to sing in church, and it's not my first time singing on record. About 10 years ago, when my first record came out on Columbia, I sang a song called I Don't Know Enough About You. So I like to sing, but I'm a guitar player first. That's what I do. But I appreciate a good song, and I listen to a lot of singers.
Well, let's hear it. This is Be Careful, It's My Heart, Russell Malone, voice and guitar from his recent CD, Look Who's Here.
Be careful. It's my heart. It's not my watch you're holding. It's my heart. It's not the note I sent you that you quickly burn. It's not the book I lent you that you never return. Be careful. It's my heart.
Russell Malone from his recent CD, Look Who's Here. You strike me as somebody with a big voice when you're speaking, who's singing in a much quieter voice. So what reaction have you been getting?
You know what? A lot of people really like that song. They like my rendition of it. And I'm not a singer. I can carry a tune. I just sing the melody. And, you know, when you got a good song like that, you don't have to try to sell it. All you have to do is just sing it because, I mean, the lyrics are there. The melody is there. And, I mean, the harmony is of the song is great. So all you have to do is just sing it.
You know, I think you first became known as the guitarist with singer Diane Krall a few years ago. How did you get to play with her?
Well, before that, I'd also spent time with Jimmy Smith. I spent 4 years with Harry Connick after that. I played with Eddie Cleanhead Vince and played with a lot of people before getting in Diana's band. Now, the way that we met was in New York City at a place called Bradley's, which is no longer open. She came to hear me play. I was playing that week with Mo Grumiller, wonderful pianist, and Peter Washington, great bassist. And I'd already heard of her, but I hadn't really checked her out. So she told me that she was getting ready to go into the studio and do a tribute to Nat King Cole, which turned out to be the record All For You. And some people had suggested that she, if she hadn't found a guitar player yet, to go down to Bradley's and check me out. So she came down, and we talked about it, and she was very, very pleasant, very personable. And she'd also heard that I'd played with Freddie Cole, who's Nat King Cole's younger brother, so I had an understanding of that music. So we went into the studio. Well, first we went on the road and played for a few months, and then we went into the studio and made this record. And that's how we hooked up.
Why don't we hear a track that you recorded with Diane Krall from her tribute record to Nat Cole called All For You. And this is Erin Boy for Rhythm, which she changed to Erin Girl for Rhythm. And my guest, Russell Malone, featured on guitar.
Here's something that I'd like to bring to you, wrapped all in cellophane, designed for you. Tell you what it's all about. It is without a doubt swinging the latest style. A service with a smile. If you wanna swing and shout, get your heels and gad about. I'm an errand girl for rhythm. Send me. Just get hip and follow through. I'll deliver straight to you. I'm an errand girl for rhythm. Send me. You can always find me down at Smokey Joe's. That's where all the hip and groovy people go. If you want variety, take a tip and call for me. I'm an errand girl for rhythm. Send me.
Guitarist Russell Malone with singer and pianist Diane Krall. Russell Malone, you left Diane Krall's group in 1999. Why did you want to leave? Why was it time for you to go?
Well, I mean, all good things must come to an end. And, you know, it was time to move on because people... I'd done three records there, and I'd spent 4 years there, and I wanted to try to... I wanted to play with some other musicians. And... along with playing with my own band, because people, if you stay in a situation too long, people start to typecast you. And I think that that's one of the worst things that can happen to anybody, be it an actor or a musician or whatever. I didn't want to end up in that situation. People started to associate me with playing that particular style of music. And it's great music, but anybody who knows me, that they know that that's just one, it's one dimension. I've, played with several other musicians like Kenny Barron, where the music is a bit edgier, has more of an edge to it. Doesn't make it any better. It doesn't mean that it's any better, but it's just, you know, I have other sides to me that I would like to share with people.
My guest is guitarist Russell Malone. His latest CD is called Look Who's Here. More after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is jazz guitarist Russell Malone. His latest CD is called Look Who's Here. A song you've recorded twice is Swing Low, Sweet Chariot, both solo guitar versions. Is that one of the songs you used to do in church?
Yeah, in fact, I used to play it at funerals. I played it at my grandfather's funeral.
Oh.
Swing Low, Sweet Chariot.
So it's a song that really means a lot to you.
It's a song that, well, all of those songs mean a lot to me, but that one in particular, it really, my heart aches when I hear it.
Well, why don't we hear it? And this is from your previous CD, which is called Sweet Georgia Peach. This is Russell Malone. Russell Malone from his CD Sweet Georgia Peach, Swing Low, Sweet Chariot. It's a beautiful version of that. You primarily taught yourself to play guitar, so clearly you must have a very good ear. But what about things like fingerings?
I mean,
Did you learn that yourself? Did you just like make that up yourself, or did you have people to suggest fingerings before?
I just figured it out. But you know, when you get older and you become more exposed to other players, You find out what they're doing, and you try to pick up what you can from them. You know, every time Jim Hall or George Benson or somebody like that is playing, I always make a point of going to check them out, and if I'm lucky, sit down and watch them up close, and try to walk away with something, because there's only so much you can learn on your own.
Were there any things that you figured out on your own, and then you met a more experienced guitarist and realized that there was a better way of going about it, better way of, like, fingering the chord or whatever, and you had to unlearn what you'd taught yourself and learn something new, which can be very difficult.
Well, I'll give an example. I remember one time I was playing for Kenny Burrell. This was about 2 years ago when he played the Blue Note. I picked up his guitar in the dressing room, and I started playing some solo guitar. And most guys, when they play solo guitar, they use the thumb, and when they play fingerstyle, they use the thumb and the three or four fingers on the right hand. Now, I was playing with the thumb and the index finger. Now, that may seem crude or wrong to somebody, but the music came out right, and Kenny Burrell said, "Hey, man, that's a very unique way of approaching that style." George Benson, he saw me doing the same thing. He said, "That's really weird, but it sounds so good." So it's there's no right or wrong way to do anything, as long as the music comes out right. That's the bottom line. Dizzy Gillespie played wrong technically. I mean, you didn't see any trumpet players playing with all that air in their cheeks. Wes Montgomery used a thumb when most guys were using a pick, but Wes Montgomery got around that guitar just as well as the guys that were using a pick. So does that make it wrong? No. The important thing is the music.
You have a great story about the first time you sat in with the organist Jimmy Smith when you were still pretty young. Would you tell that story for us?
Well, he was playing at a place called Pasco's La Carousel in Atlanta. This is back in 1986. And I had been listening to Jimmy since I was knee-high to a grasshopper, so I knew his music. And I got off my gig at the Holiday Inn and drove down to the club to see him play. Before he got on the bandstand, I mean, the way he walked around the club, the way he approached the bandstand, I mean, he just had this aura about him. I mean, they're just certain guys. When they're away from their instruments, they're still swinging. They have this charisma. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Milt Jackson was like that. Even when he was away from that bandstand, he was just still grooving, man. And that's the way Jimmy Smith was. But anyway, when he got on the stand, when he got on the bandstand, he played beautifully. And then he closed out the set, went over to the bar, and he was talking with this saxophone player, one of the local guys, a fellow by the name of Sil Austin. And so Sil introduced me to Jimmy and said, hey, you know, this is Russell Malone, a fine up-and-coming young guitarist. He said, oh, yeah? He said, you got your guitar? I said, yes, it's in the car. So he made me go get my guitar. And I came back, and he played one or two tunes, and then he called me up to sit in with the band. And I had some of my buddies there with me, and I had my girlfriend at the time with me. So I'm feeling really good. And everybody was excited because here's the hometown kid getting a chance to sit in with the great Jimmy Smith. So he kicked off the first tune, which was a blues. And I'm feeling all good about myself, and I'm playing all of this crowd-pleasing nonsense that didn't have any substance to it. And the crowd went wild, and, you know, I'm catting up there, feeling good. So Jimmy's sitting back, and he's paying attention to all of this. So he ended the tune. Then he went into a ballad, which I didn't know, a tune called Laura by David Raskin. You know that tune?
I do, and it's a haunting melody, but it's also it doesn't have a predictable melody line or chords.
See, that's the thing. See, that's not one of those tunes that you can just hear your way through. You have to really know that song.
It's the theme from the movie, by the way.
Yeah.
For listeners who don't know it, yeah.
So you have to really know that song. So he plays the melody, and I'm there trying to hear what he's doing, and then. After he finishes the melody, he motions for me to take the first solo. And the harder I struggled with the tune, the more complicated he made it for me because he started throwing in all of these different substitutions and changes and started doing tricks with the rhythm. And I was really embarrassed. I was mortified. So he ended the song and he says, yeah, it's Russell Malone on guitar. So I got off the bandstand, my spirit dragging, sat back down next to my girlfriend. And he looked over at me and said on the mic, he says, now, whenever youngsters sit in with us, we always like to make sure that they learn something. And he looked at me and said, now, did you learn something, young man? And I said, yes. So anyway, he played one more tune, ended the set, went back over to the bar. And he's, you know, having a drink with some friends. So I was so embarrassed. I was going to leave, but I figured I better stay around and thank him for the opportunity. So I walked up to him, and I was about to say, Mr. Smith, thank you for letting me sit in. But before I could get the sentence out of my mouth, he looked around and he said something to me, and I will never forget this as long as I live. He looked at me and poked his finger in my chest and said, let me tell you something. He said, all those guys that you're trying to play like, George Benson, Kenny Burrell, Wes Montgomery, Pat Martino, he gave me this long list of guitar players. He said, all of these guys that you're trying to play like, I knew them and I taught them too. And I never forgot that. So anyway, I stayed around. I didn't leave. I stayed around until the last set was over. And then we went up to his dressing room at around midnight. And we hung out there till like 6:30 the next morning. I had my guitar with me and I was playing for him. And he, you know, when you get, I don't know if you've ever met Jimmy Smith, but Jimmy is an interesting guy. He's a bit of a character. And when there are a lot of people around, he tends to put on this act. You ever seen people like that?
Mm-hmm.
When they have an audience, they put on this act. But when it was just the two of us one-on-one, I got so much information from this man. And, you know, it's funny. Whenever he would talk about Wes Montgomery and Bud Powell and Art Tatum and all of these people, he would get very emotional. You could see the tears welling up in his eyes.
One of the things I really like about this story is that after he kind of makes a point of putting you in your place on the bandstand, then you become buddies, you know, like within an hour of that, or an hour or two, you know, and you stay up all night together. He's teaching all these things. It's like he showed you up, but he really apparently did mean well. And,
That's what you call, that's a perfect example of tough love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, tough love. It's just like, you know, here I was this cocky kid. And I made the mistake of, and this was a very foolish mistake, of thinking that just because I'd listened to his records and I'd, you know, learned some of the solos or whatever, learned some of his songs, I thought that that's the way it was going to be. But I was in for a rude awakening. And, you know, records are only a small part of the story. They're just snapshots in sound. And I, you know, and I made this stupid assumption, and then I got up there with this cocky attitude. So I had it coming.
Do you have younger musicians who want to sit in with you now, and how do you handle it?
Well, I let people sit in. I think that that's a good thing to do. Years ago, it used to be where musicians would always get a chance to sit in with the masters if they, not that I'm calling myself a master or anything, but guys who are more established. And if you have the talent, then come on up there, let's have a good time, and who knows, maybe you'll get a gig in my band, or somebody else will hear you and you'll get a gig. But the bottom line is that you would play with these people, and it provided an opportunity for you to be heard. I know I never turn anybody away. If they have some degree of talent, I let them sit in.
My guest is guitarist Russell Malone. His latest CD is called Look Who's Here. More after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is jazz guitarist Russell Malone. You've been influenced by a lot of guitarists, some of whose names you've mentioned during the course of our interview. I'm sure you've studied their records and learned to play in their style. What's it like to develop your own voice after being influenced by the voices of others?
Well, first of all, Terry, I think that everybody has their own voice. What everybody doesn't have early on is the confidence to speak with that voice. Obviously, I've been influenced by all of these guys that we mentioned before. And for a while, I felt that I had to play that way, or play like these guys, or play certain kinds of styles or certain kinds of tunes. I felt that I had to play certain kinds of tunes because, you know, when you're young, you tend to, you're seeking approval and you want people to like you. And you don't always have the confidence to say, hey, this is me. But as you get older, then your confidence comes. And I've come to realize that no matter how much I love Wes Montgomery, Kenny Burrell, Joe Pass, and all of these guys, no matter how much I love them and no matter how great they are, I'm still the best Russell Malone there is. nobody's going to cut Russell Malone at being Russell Malone.
Right.
Yeah.
What are some of the musicians or some of the recordings you've listened to over the years that are quite a distance away from what you actually play, but you love what they do and it's influenced you in some way or another? You know, things that we'd
you mean
be
aside from jazz?
Yeah, or even within jazz, things that we might be surprised that you really like and feel very strongly about.
Well, I like a lot of different things, Terry. There's one record that I've been listening to called New Moonshine by James Taylor. It came out about 9 years ago, which is it's a great record.
This is singer-songwriter James Taylor.
James Taylor, yeah. And Rain, James Taylor.
Right. Yeah. What do you hear in him?
Well, James Taylor, he's got honesty, man. I mean, he's got the passion, and he writes great songs. The man writes good songs. Jim Croce, I like. I love Jim Croce. I like Patsy Cline. I like Sam Cooke. As far as jazz goes, let's see. One of my favorite records is a record that was recorded by Oscar Peterson and Milt Jackson and Ray Brown years ago called Very Tall. Great record. I listen to a lot of different things, Terry. I'd be here all day telling you about what I listen to.
You have a song that you do on your previous CD, the Sweet Georgia Peach CD, called Someone's Rockin' My Dreamboat.
Mm-hmm.
I've never heard of that song before. Where did you find it?
You're not going to believe it when I tell you this. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
Are you sure you're ready for this, Terry?
I'm sitting down.
Okay. Bugs Bunny. I kid you not.
Would he sing it in a cartoon? Because Bugs is the great vaudevillian of the Warner Brothers cartoons.
But there, you watch some of those old cartoons, and there are a lot of great songs in there. But this one day, I was watching Bugs Bunny, and he was skipping through the forest singing this song. Someone's rocking my dream boat. Someone's invading my dream. We were sailing along and singing this song, and suddenly something went wrong. And I was just so taken by the melody, and so I said, I got to find this tune. So I found a recording of the Ink Spots doing it. Remember the Ink Spots?
Sure do.
If I didn't care. And would I be sure that this is love beyond compare? Would all this be true if I didn't care for you? Anyway, so much for that. No, but the Ink Spots, I have a recording of the Ink Spots doing that tune, and I had to record it. I should play that again. I haven't played it in a while.
Oh, it's a great song. It's great. One extreme to another, Bugs Bunny to the Ink Spots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Bugs Bunny. That's where I first heard that tune. But he used to do a lot of, Bugs Bunny would sing a lot of great songs in that movie. By the waterfall, I'm calling you. Remember that one?
It's from one of the Busby Berkeley movies.
One of the, yeah. And then there was April Showers. He sang a lot of, there were a lot of good songs in those cartoons.
Yep. Yeah. Well, I think it's only fitting that we end with Someone's Rockin' My Dreamboat.
Mm.
Russell Malone, it's been great to talk with you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Terry.